Welcome to KPMG's podcast, where we will explore the latest trends and topics around the Inflation Reduction Act and energy tax credits. As businesses across the United States are increasingly focused on clean energy, we are excited to bring you an overview of the groundbreaking changes in the IRA. I'm Robert Ford, a tax partner in KPMG's Atlanta Accounting Methods and Credits Practice, and I'll be your host. Joining me today are two experts on these new laws: John Gimigliano, who heads KPMG's Federal Legislative and Regulatory Group, and Hannah Hawkins, former Deputy Tax Counsel in the Treasury's Office of Tax Policy. Together, we will delve into the details of these important changes and discuss how they can benefit your business. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into the world of clean energy and tax incentives. John and Hannah, as companies look for ways to reduce their carbon footprint and save money on energy costs, energy credits have historically been a valuable tool. Can you tell us about some of the recent changes to the tax credits in the IRA?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me here today, Robert. This is an excellent question. Let me just start with answering that question from a Capitol Hill point of view. You know, what Congress is trying to do with the new laws that were recently enacted. These were enacted as part of the Inflation Reduction Act last year. It's probably really a misnamed piece of legislation, because when you look at it, it really wasn't as much about inflation reduction as it was about Congress putting forth its most bold, most aggressive piece of legislation on the environment and climate. And if you really think about what that bill did, it was Congress trying to use the tax code as a mechanism to change behavior from taxpayers by using tax incentives to try and encourage investment in new technologies that Congress perceives as being better for the environment. And it really is the most important piece of climate-related legislation Congress ever passed. They've done other ones in the past, including when I worked on Capitol Hill, we did some, including the Energy Policy Act of 2005. This dwarfs all of those in terms of using the tax code to give taxpayers not only tax credits, but in some cases, and Hannah will talk about these, other direct payments to invest in technologies that are going to be cleaner than the traditional use of fossil fuels. So it's a big deal, absolutely a big deal. And it's going to be really fascinating to watch how this plays out with taxpayers and how it's utilized by companies in the coming months and years.
I'll jump in here to talk about some of the incentives more specifically that were part of this package. First, it has modifications, extensions, enhancements to some of the tax credits in the space that have been around for decades. Production tax credits for wind and investment tax credits for solar, among other technologies. But the Inflation Reduction Act also created brand new incentive opportunities for never before incentivized technologies and investments, and also incentivize the supply chain through new incentives. So on that supply chain point, part of the policy here is to incentivize the energy transition in the U.S., and that means the components, the pieces of the energy transition to also be manufactured in the U.S., not just new projects located in the U.S., but the whole supply chain coming from the U.S. And as part of that, the Inflation Reduction Act has brand new tax credits, including Section 45X, which is a production-based tax credit for the manufacturer of certain components for use in energy transition technologies. So components for solar and wind, components for EV batteries, critical mineral sourcing. And all of this is important not just for investments in renewable electricity generation, but also the tax credits for electric vehicles. Eligibility for those hinge on where the vehicles were assembled, and also where the parts, components of the batteries and the critical minerals come from, specifically in the U.S., generally, or in some cases, countries with which the U.S. has free trade agreements. But all of this is incentivized through the Inflation Reduction Act in a really interesting and sort of different way than Congress has traditionally done it in this space.
Thanks, John and Hannah. One other area I wanted to cover is the monetization of tax credits. Some companies have had difficulty monetizing these types of tax credits in the past. Some companies are in losses, and not-for-profits don't pay any tax. What are some of the new ways under the IRA that tax credits can be monetized?
You know, this is something Congress has struggled with for decades, really. The tax code only gets you so far as an incentive mechanism, because if you're not paying tax, as you say, Robert, it's hard to incentivize somebody through the tax system. And so, especially in the renewable space, where many of these renewables developers, alternative energy developers, typically don't make pre-tax profit, it's been a real challenge for them to figure out ways to use the tax system. And again, this is one of the reasons why I find the IRA, these provisions enacted in the Inflation Reduction Act, is so fascinating, because it's kind of a bold new experiment in how we are going to take these tax incentives and make them available to taxpayers who might otherwise pay tax. And in some ways, it's kind of a radical idea, and it's unknown how this is going to play out, but it's going to be one of the interesting things to watch and the things that taxpayers are going to have to pay close attention to. So, Hannah, why don't you tell us about a couple of these mechanisms that Congress came up with in the IRA?
The tax credits pre-IRA, non-refundable, non-transferable, you had to have tax liability to sort of reap the economic benefit of these incentives. And so that led to transactions, partnerships, whereby you would try to monetize your tax credits to finding a partner who had tax capacity to use them. And that was the lay of the land for a long time for financing projects using these tax credits. But there are limitations in tax equity financing. There's certain small projects never really get financed. Tax equity financing takes on very little risk. There's only so much tax equity financing out there. So it wasn't a solution to all of these financing issues that a lot of these projects had. And so in response to that, Congress provided two new monetization options under the Inflation Reduction Act. The first is direct pay. And that essentially is the refundability of tax credits. And this is a brand new concept for business tax credits in the U.S. So how refundability works for the Inflation Reduction Act tax credits is that for tax-exempt entities, so that's entities exempt for tax under the Internal Revenue Code, that's governments, political subdivisions, colleges and universities, tax-exempt entities are now eligible to claim these tax credits as refundable tax credits. So they essentially get a payment from the government. So a college can install solar charging stations, hospitals can make investments in renewable energy and benefit from these incentives in ways that they could not before. Also, the Inflation Reduction Act made a select number of the tax credits refundable for all taxpaying entities. So those are just tax credits for carbon capture, for clean hydrogen production, and that 45X credit I talked about, that clean manufacturing production tax credit. So all taxpaying entities can claim those credits as refundable for the first 5 years of those credit periods. And then for taxpaying entities for all the other types of credits, there is now this opportunity, this ability to transfer tax credits. Direct pay is a brand new concept. Transferability is a brand new concept for these tax credits. There's some state tax credits that you can buy and sell, but this has never been available to federal tax credits. So what the Inflation Reduction Act did is it said for these tax credits, if you generate the tax credit, if you make an investment in solar, for example, and you do not have the tax capacity to use that tax credit, the way that you can benefit from that tax credit is by selling it to an unrelated party for cash consideration. So this is, again, going to be a brand new undertaking, a brand new market, a brand new set of rules and diligence that's going to have to be done on these transactions. But it's a very exciting concept to apply to these tax credits. And actually, just 2 days ago, we received guidance providing a little more clarity on direct pay and transferability, but a lot yet to come in sort of how that market evolves.
John, earlier you had mentioned that the IRA was one of the largest bills that's ever been passed to fight greenhouse gas emissions. And Hannah, you had mentioned how it was tied into the supply chains. And one thing I wanted to discuss was how the IRA has created tiered rate structures for tax credits, and that these rate structures incentivize activities more than just clean energy. Can you all shed some light on these new tiered rate structures and the policy behind them?
The Inflation Reduction Act is a very interesting policy implementation vehicle around the energy transition, but it's broader than just the energy transition. It does a few things to effectuate a few different types of policies. First of all, for almost all of the credits that were either enacted or modified under the Inflation Reduction Act, there is now a two-tier credit system. And in order to get the higher credit, the bonus credit rate, projects have to be constructed using prevailing wage labor and qualified apprenticeships. These are not tax concepts. This is borrowing from Department of Labor, from Davis-Bacon, but it is very important to understand these requirements and to make sure they are complied with and documented, because the difference in credit rates between meeting prevailing wage and apprenticeship requirements and not is a 5 times difference. So on an investment tax credit, for example, if you meet prevailing wage and apprenticeship requirements, you're eligible for a 30% investment tax credit. If you don't, it is a 6% investment tax credit. So this is a very important requirement. Obviously, the policy here is not only to incentivize the investments in these technologies, but to make investments into skilled workforce to support these technologies. But that's not it in terms of the policy drivers at play here. So there are also additional credit opportunities for certain things as applied to these tax credits. So let's call these credit adders. And one adder is related to the use of domestically produced content in your eligible project. So if you construct your solar project using domestically sourced solar panels, domestically sourced steel and iron, you are potentially eligible for an extra 10% credit. So assuming you have met prevailing wage and apprenticeship requirements, and you will also have met this domestic content requirement, you are potentially eligible for a 40% investment tax credit. And then there is another credit adder opportunity for where a project is located. The Inflation Reduction Act identifies certain locations as energy communities, and these are communities that are brownfield sites, census tracts where coal-fired power plants or coal mines have closed, or statistical areas that have been formerly reliant on fossil fuel extractive industries. So if you are located in one of those energy communities, you are potentially eligible for an additional 10% credit adder. So in my investment tax credit example, when you have met prevailing wage and apprenticeship and you've used domestic content, and now if you're in an energy community, you are potentially at a 50% investment tax credit. There are very, very significant incentives woven throughout these provisions that can really change the financing of these types of projects. So a lot going on here, a lot of new rules, and we're all learning them as we go. But it would be an understatement to say that the energy community and supply chain and manufacturers and everybody who can benefit from these incentives is looking at these very, very closely. And obviously, the momentum is huge.
Can I just add one thing to that, Robert? So some of the folks may be listening and saying, okay, this is a one-time thing. Is this going to be forever, these credits? Are they durable? Obviously, the Inflation Reduction Act was enacted by a Democratic Congress with the Democratic administration. Republicans who now control the House of Representatives have talked about repealing these. But first of all, to anybody concerned that these may not be that stable long term, one thing is, as long as Democrats, I think, are in control of any part of Washington, the House, the Senate, or the White House, they're going to block any attempts to repeal these. They view these sort of their signature achievements. If we did get a Republican House, Senate, White House after the 2024 elections, you may ask, well, then what about then? I still think, having talked to a lot of Republicans on Capitol Hill about these things, they are very reluctant to repeal a tax incentive when a taxpayer has already committed capital and investment to them, sort of made business plans around them. They would view that as a retroactive tax increase, which they don't want to do. So even in that case, I think once you've got a position where taxpayers have made capital commitments to projects with the idea that these credits would be available, I think those are likely to remain safe. Now, look, there are no promises in life. Who knows how this plays out? But I do think that in the long term, the credits that are currently on the books are likely to stay on the books for the duration that Congress originally enacted them back in the IRA.
Thank you, John and Hannah, for your time and insights. We hope you found our discussion on the IRA and energy credits informative and helpful. By taking advantage of these credits, your business can not only help protect the environment, but also improve your bottom line. For more information on the IRA and energy credits, please visit KPMG's website. That's all for today's podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to bringing you more insight and trends in the future.